Take your Bibles there in the book of Philemon.
As we said, there's only the one chapter. But let's go ahead and stand here in the honor of reading our Father's holy word here. I want to read verses 10 and 11 today. Perhaps not quite your typical Easter sermon, but this is what we feel the Lord would have for us to preach today. Philemon, verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. You'll notice as we read through there, after the name Onesimus, it says that there's a comma there. In verse 11, it says, unprofitable. The name Onesimus actually means profitable, but now he's unprofitable. I want to bring a sermon here this morning on this thought of what comes after the comma. What comes after the comma? Our gracious Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us and all that you're going to do. And we ask you, Lord, please, to help me, Lord, to present the sermon here the way that you'd have for me to, that each and every one will be able to get exactly what it is that they need out of the sermon today. That if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they would make today that glorious day that they come and accept Jesus as their personal Savior. We pray, Father, for all the prayer requests that have been made known and the unspoken, that you would take care of them as you see fit. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. A little bit of backstory for you. Onesimus was a runaway slave. He belonged to Philemon. The book is titled after Philemon, about Onesimus. Paul is writing here, and he is in effect acting as Jesus, going to the Father to plead the case of Onesimus, this runaway slave, this man who has not been faithful, who's not been doing as he should have done. In your mind, you can call back to the Garden of Eden there, where God created man. Man was made in the image of God. He was made to be God's vice regent on planet Earth. But as the song said there, he listened to Satan and he fell. This got things all messed up. Man was supposed to be profitable. Man was supposed to be whole. Man was supposed to literally go hand in hand with God Almighty at the time. I believe that him and Jesus actually did walk physically hand in hand, because at the time he was perfect, but no longer is he perfect. Now he's broken. He's got issues. Onesimus has issues. He's not the man he should have been. God's providential hand led Onesimus from Colossae, there in Asia Minor, all the way to Rome in Italy, where the Apostle Paul was under house arrest during his first Roman imprisonment. And somehow, the Lord made it so as Onesimus ran into Paul there in jail, and he got saved. And after some time, he's decided he needs to go back, and he needs to get things right with Philemon, even though he is broken, even though he's got some issues with his life. Onesimus realized that he needed to get right with the Master. And so Paul writes this letter to Philemon on his behalf. But Paul's got these commas in there because he wants to separate the past. He wants to separate what Philemon knows about Onesimus so he can distinguish what is there now. If you read the sign, broken, but there's a comma here. Because what happens after the comma matters. You don't have to live on that side of the comma. You don't have to stay there, hurt, wounded, worn out, broken, a train wreck, empty. empty, a walking disaster, a failure, a disappointment, suicidal, regretful, empty. You don't have to stay on that side of the comma. I want you to notice here just a few things, and then we'll quickly head off there and find that Easter bunny and get us some more eggs. Number one, we see in verse 11 that the past was unprofitable. It says here again, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, verse 10, verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. It's a play on words there. As I said, Onesimus means profitable, but he was unprofitable. A slave who's run away from his master is unprofitable. A servant who does not serve his master is unprofitable. Children who disobey their parents, guess what? They're unprofitable. We may still love them, but we want to kill them deep down. I suppose that's why nature eats their young. Hey man, Gracie. Y'all don't worry about my little demon-possessed child over there. But he says he was unprofitable in the past, but now profitable to thee and to me. See, Paul knew what Onesimus had done. I believe Onesimus had confessed everything to the Apostle Paul. And I want to go back to Philemon. I want to tell him what I've done. And this is what I've done, Paul. Do you think there's a chance? If you want to have the proper fellowship with God Almighty, you must confess everything. Single thing to God. Don't come tell me I got enough dirt in my life as is. Amen. I don't go tell Brother Frank he ain't got time. He's got a new grandbaby on the way. He's got other things on his mind. He don't want to hear it no how, no way. I trust you don't, brother. If you do, the altars are always open. Amen. But Paul heard it all. He knew Onesimus. He knew what he had done. He knew what he had become. And so Paul acts here as a type of Jesus. He does this because he understands, as the Bible says there in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So we all are born unprofitable to God. Even that new little grandbaby that's coming any second now is going to be unprofitable to God until that child gets saved. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I looked up that word all there, Miss Betty, because I'm a half a moron and that's the good half. Amen. I wanted to know what that word all means. Turns out, Xander, it means all. Everyone have sinned. Everyone has come short of the glory of God. So our past, unprofitable, broken. But if we stay there, if we stay on the wrong side of the comma, we defeat the very purpose of Jesus coming dying on that cross. He didn't come and die on the cross because He had nothing else to do. He didn't come so that we could have religion. He didn't come so that we could have Easter or Christmas. He came to die upon that cross of Calvary so you and I can go free from the burden of sin that we have. From the sin debt that we owe. So as we don't have to stay in the past. The past is in the past. It's not a life sentence. It can teach you a few things, but we do not have to live there. I want you to know, besides that past is unprofitable, that we see that the potential is unparalleled. Notice with me in verse 16, Paul writing says, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He says, I understand that at one time he was a servant. All of us, when we are born, we become the servants of Satan. That the DNA passed down from our daddy to us at conception that contains the sin gene. So we are all born sinners. There is none born who on this earth of a earthly human daddy and an earthly human mama who ain't a sinner, no matter how cute they might be when they're born. They're sinners just as much as the rest of us. Servants to Satan. But the potential is not found there. Because he goes on to say, but above a servant. Still called him a servant. So why is that? Well, that's because as you read through the epistles, you find Paul constantly refers to himself as the servant of Jesus Christ, the bondslave of Jesus. We are no longer servants to Satan. Once you get saved, you become the servant to God Almighty. Say, well, preacher, I thought when we got saved, we became children of God. How can we be servants? Well, it's like this. I love my little girl, but if I give her something to do, I expect her to do it. And she does it. That is a form of service. That didn't turn her into a slave or nothing, but she served what I needed her to do. Brother Frank had it laid upon his heart today to come here and play the piano for us on this Easter Sunday. He didn't do that as a slave. He did that because that was some service that he could do for his Heavenly Father. For his brothers and sisters in Christ, he came and he did that for us today. Not as a servant of Satan. If that had been the case, he'd have gotten over there and he'd have played Stairway to Heaven. Highway to Hell. We Will Rock You or some other worldly tune. Instead, he played Because He Lives. He played those other songs for us here today. As a servant of the Lord. But there's greater potential than that. It goes on to say here, a brother beloved. Philemon knew Onesimus was wrong for what he had done. He could have done anything he wanted to Philemon when Philemon came back. Roman law allowed him to take this servant, this runaway slave, and to beat him, to not feed him, to torture him, to sell him to somebody else, to kill him even. That's how Roman law flowed. Paul was saying the potential is here for you to take him back as a brother. Not as a brother you're fighting with. Xander, Aiden, are you two fighting right now?
Not right now.
Not, I'll take the not right now part. They are brothers. And they may not want to admit it, but they do love each other as they're brothers. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are supposed to love one another. Yeah, we might have our little fights. Yeah, we might have our little tiffs. We might have those times when we just kind of want to choke that person because they need it. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, the potential is greater than our own personal greed and desires. And the only reason it exists is because of what Jesus did there on the cross of Calvary. Remember one of His sayings from the cross of Calvary, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. He didn't say that because the people down there were like, is something going on today? It kind of feels like there's something going on. Now, He did it because they were spitting on Him. They were yelling insults on Him. They had just torn His body to shreds with the cat of nine tails across His back. By forcing that crown of thorns, those 2 to 3 inch long razor sharp thorns upon His brow here. They just forced the nails through His hands and His feet. He wasn't up there with some loincloth on. He was up there naked as the day He was born. Suffering humiliation, pain, anguish, suffering beyond we could possibly imagine. But He saw the potential in you. You and you and you, 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 me. You know what the beautiful thing about the verse John 3:16 is? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And I realize some translations, they intentionally leave out that word begotten because the person who translated didn't understand the importance of that word begotten. The word begotten means naturally born. You see, you go over there to Ephesians chapter number 1, you find that we've been adopted into the family of God, which means that Jesus can't be an only child because then I would no longer be adopted. I'm a joint heir to the throne of heaven.
Amen.
I'm so saved it's pitiful. It don't matter how embarrassing I am to God. He's stuck with me. And if you're saved, you're stuck with me too. What can we do for the Lord if we'll just surrender to what God would have for us to do? Our past does not have to define us. It's on the wrong side of that comma. Grudges don't have to be kept. Hurt feelings can be shed. All that matters is serving our Lord. Romans chapter 5 verse 20 says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, comma, grace did much more abound." Someone sins against you, what did Jesus say to do? Turn the cheek 7 times 70. 490. And it don't matter how good at math you are, eventually you're going to lose track how many times you've forgiven that person today. Let alone you got to start all over again tomorrow. But all this can be taken and done because of the payment uninhibited. Verse number 18. "If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account." It didn't matter how much he owed. All that mattered was that Paul would take care of it. It doesn't matter how much you owe Jesus. Jesus took care of it.
Amen.
No matter how much you owe the Holy Spirit. Jesus took care of it. Don't matter how much you owe God the Father. Jesus took care of it. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Wages are what you have earned. You go to work, you expect to get paid for it, unless you're a volunteer. Gifts, however, are free. They cost you basically nothing to receive it. But the person giving it now costs them. I have here 2 $5 bills. Would anyone like one of these $5 bills?
Of course.
Right. Well, I'm hearing a lot of courses. I ain't seeing no hands. And you know what else I'm not seeing? Anybody coming up here to take it? You see, that's the one thing about salvation. Jesus offers salvation. It's freely given. But it requires us to put our faith in action. How do we put our faith in action? Well, it would be someone's fingers coming over here and taking this $5 bill. That's all it requires for them to take it and have it. $5 bills are still free. I have yet to see anyone come up here and take them, even though I am still talking. I kind of expected one of these little kids to run up here. I see my buddy, and he's clenching that pew in front of him like, "Grandma, can I please jump up there? Grandma, can I please jump up there?" Why in the world are you letting Grandma stop you from coming up here and taking what is rightfully yours if you'll just come up and accept it? Well, now suddenly the race is on. No, the race just got called off. I still have a $5 bill in hand, and no one has yet to claim that other $5 bill. So what if I were to do something like this? What if I were to go and bring a gospel back to somebody? Look at that, sweetie. That $5 bill is yours. Now guess what? I gave her that $5 bill. At no point, I gave him that $5 bill. At no point am I going to come back and say, "Give me it back." It's theirs. It's my gift to them. That costs me $5 each. No big deal. Jesus, however, died on that cross. His body broken to give us something more precious, more costly than a $5 bill. The gift of salvation. So that we can spend eternity in heaven with Him.
Because when we come and we ask Jesus to save us, we can move past that coming. We can move past our brokenness. We can move past the things that hurt us. We can come be loved. We can become the very thing that He wants for us to be. If we'll move past the comma, and now it becomes a period. And every time Satan comes along and he tells you, oh, you messed up this time. He won't take you back this time. You draw his attention to that period there. The sentence can't change. It's done. You're his now. It don't matter how badly you sin, you're saved. It don't matter how far away from God you run, you're saved. It don't matter how much you may sit there and curse God if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's a period at the end of the sentence. You move past the comma to the period. Paul understood this. And so he wrote to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. Philemon looked beyond the comma. Look beyond what the world says about him. Look beyond what you think about him. Look to the period that's there at the end of the sentence that God has now written. That everything else is dropped off. He's just now beloved. Not because of Paul, but because of Jesus.
Amen.
Not because he somehow ended up in a prison, whether visiting or been charged himself, but because of the cross.
Because he now has a parent unsurpassed. Verse 22, but withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Paul said, also a lodging. You know what that tells me? He expected Philemon to accept Onesimus. And what else it tells me? Paul was expecting to be set free from that Roman prison. Lodging means a hospitable reception. Warm and open. Romans 8:15 says, For if ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Many years ago, my parents moved down to Tennessee. A few years later, me and my wife got to go down there and see them. First time I had been to their new place down there. And before we left, my mom looked at me and said, son, you know this is your home too. My home's up here in Hammond. I bought my own house. Why would she say this is my home too? Because that's my parents' home. I've been adopted. He's Abba Father. He's my daddy. No matter what I do, because of the cross, I can come to Him and say, you remember me? You called me beloved. I'm broken right now, but you called me beloved. Daddy will let me crawl up into His arms. He'll love on me. He'll say, that's right. You are my child. Much like that prodigal son when he came home broken. All prepared to ask to be made as one of the hired servants. He said, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. But there's a period there. I believe his father went, shh, just put his finger right to his lips. I know what you're going to say. You can't do it because you're my son. You're his child.
Amen.
You don't have to live on that side of the comma. You can live on this side of the comma. And you can come back to this side of the comma at any time. I have just two questions as Brother Frank comes with a song of invitation for us. What comes after your comma? You may be sitting there saying, "Preacher, I don't know. I haven't even gotten to the comma yet." Let me just say, now would be a wonderful time to come up here and change your life from broken for this world to being beloved of Jesus. And that second question is simply this. After the comma, does it say, saved by Jesus? That question is so important, I had to put it twice. Because if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, hell's the next stop when you close your eyes in death. But if you do know Jesus as your personal Savior, well, then it's heaven. And what a wonderful time that would be. Father in heaven, we do thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. We pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon this day. We pray, Lord, for each and every one that is gathered here today, that they will have heard what it is that they needed to hear, that they will act upon it. That perhaps they understand that they need to come up here and do business with You. They'll be willing to put away the pride, the shame, and just humble themselves and come and pray. Coming to seek You. No one's certainly going to judge them, that's for sure. But help us, Father, please, to be obedient to You. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen. If you please stand.
Page 134.
Page 134.